But I'd like to direct a couple of questions yet to Ruth. And this is a really insightful question, I think. It says, some of our traditional community institutions are disappearing, and others are struggling to retain members. Historically, these organizations have really helped individuals and families deal with the struggle and difficult times in agriculture, things like churches, organizations, granges, commodity clubs, etc. They were places where people were able to gather and get support. Are those institutions still in place, and is that where people really can expect to get help today, or are there other kinds of institutions people ought to be looking to for support during these challenging times today?
And that question is directed to me?
Yes, Ruth.
Okay, well, let's see here. The institutions that are going away, yes, I have been 30 years working with Extension. I have been witnessing the change that has been going on with Extension in just about all the states. Tremendous loss of educational support, of information. But what's replacing it is the online education programs, much like what's going on here. Church communities, of course, I have found them to be very important in the counseling, where entire communities of farm families are hurting. I don't know if I agree with it that the church community is going away so much. I think that is still intact. But anything that is requiring public funding, yes, those institutions are taking a huge whack. And probably one of the reasons why I took Annie's project and put it as a not-for-profit, because I wanted to preserve that institution and isolate it from this withdrawal of public funds. So you've hit on a very good question, but as long as we are tied to that tax dollar, that tax base, we can expect to see these kinds of contraction, especially in this economy that we're experiencing.
Yeah, okay, and thank you. Thank you for your comments. Bob, another question here for you. It says, if you were a farmer realizing you were losing control of the situation, whatever the situation might be here, and that you needed help, how would you go about seeking that help? Would there be some kind of a process you'd follow, or a particular agency that you would contact, or an individual that you would think might be most helpful to people, again, who have self-identified that they need some kind of assistance in their current situation?
Yes, John. If I was a farmer and I started realizing, you know, I'm just not, maybe it's my memory, I'm just not able to remember things like I used to, and I'm drinking more, and I just don't want to see people anymore. If I was a farmer and I was recognizing some of those signs, where would I go? I think a good place to go is to one's physician. And you can go to your physician for a physical, and along the way, be sure and mention what symptoms you see in yourself and talk to him or her about what you see going on with yourself. You might, if you're prone to like to keep kind of like checklists, you might kind of monitor on a scale of 1 to 10. How are you feeling from 10 fantastic and enthusiastic and 1 dismal and depressed? And just for a few days, just kind of keep track of what's your overall score each day, and take that into your physician so she or he knows something about what you're experiencing. And then, in addition to that, what I often recommend to people who recognize they have some kind of symptoms or problems there, if they feel comfortable asking their friends, if you know of someone who's ever dealt with XYZ problem, who's good in the community that can deal with that, and get 2 or 3 recommending the same person, that's an awfully good reference. And then, if you really are ready to go directly to the person, what I recommend people do is look in the yellow pages of your telephone book under counselors and pick out 2 or 3 that seem to grab your attention, and call them up and talk with them and ask them, say, you know, if somebody had problem XYZ, what would you do with that kind of situation? How long would it take? How much would it cost? How effective are you dealing with that situation? You don't have to own it as your own. You can say, you know, somebody who's got a problem like that, and you ask them, How long does it take, and what does it cost, and any other questions you're worried about? How would the person know you keep things confidential rather than and put them somewhere to find out? Ask any question you want. Then notice how you feel as they are talking with you. Do you feel like this is a person who kind of puts you off and doesn't respect you? If so, write them off. You're not going to go to that person and trust them. Find someone you can trust. That safe harbor that Ruth was talking about earlier is extremely critical when we seek out a professional around behavioral health issues. You need to find somebody you like, you trust, you feel like you can talk with and open up to. And once you find someone like that, then schedule with them and work with them until you get... So those would be my suggestions there to that situation, John.
Okay, well, excellent. Excellent suggestions to you, I think. Ruth, another question for you. A number of people in the audience noted that your list did not include their state as one that's being addressed by Annie's project. Could you speak to the plans for expansion of Annie's project to other states and or who they might contact to try to get Annie's project offered where they are at?
Yes, we are planning a nationwide expansion of Annie's project in 2010, so that's closing on us fairly quickly. They can go to our website, and the easiest way to find it is just Google Annie's Project. The very first link that'll come up, Iowa State does maintain our website for us. And there'll be contact information to the national leadership team, which will begin the process of working with a contact in a state who has the interest and also work with them to get some grant money through the RME, through the Risk Management Education Centers, as well as from the Risk Management Agency. So I would recommend visiting our website. They have my contact information as well. I'm chair of the National Leadership Team, and we'd love to work with those states that are ready to bring Annie's project into their state.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. Bob, here's another question that's come in. Says the current economic volatility has placed stress on many farm families across the spectrum of U.S. farms, as you've spoken to and many of our presenters have over the last months. But you've noted today that each farm has a different capacity to absorb or deal with that stress. Could you comment on the importance of the individuals involved in the situation of taking ownership of that situation and developing a plan to actually address it?
Absolutely. It's vital that each family have members in that family that do take ownership of the problem. It's easy for us, when we feel like we're victims, to blame others for whatever problems are there. It's easy for us, when we feel like a victim, to blame the banker, to blame the economy, to blame a lot of other people, because so many of the stressors that farmers and ranchers face are outside of their control. They don't have control over the weather. They don't have control over the price of fertilizer, or the price of diesel, or the price they're going to get for their yearlings or for their milk. So it's easy to feel like a victim, but as you put it, John, it's important that we take charge of especially what's inside of our mind and inside of our hearts, etc., in terms of the perception we think about it. If we have a negative perception about our own financial situation, how can we switch that? What can we see that is good about our situation? How can we reframe? That means put another frame around the picture so that we can see the positive and get some energy and move on to problem solving. It's vital that we do that, because if we don't, we're going to get awfully depressed and we may get worse.
Great. Thank you for those insights. I've got one final question that I'd like to put to both of you. And this is kind of a general question. So we'll start with Ruth, put you on the spot first. Sorry. But the question is, the person is wondering if we as extension professionals are doing enough currently to assist and support farm families as this current situation of economic volatility and challenging times is unfolding. Ruth, do you have some insights about that?
As a matter of fact, I have lots of insights on that one. What is Extension's role when these farms go through these peaks and valleys that they go through? Just like Annie's project has a mission statement, I think people who work Extension need to look back and see what their mission is through Extension. And what it is, in a lot of states, is you build partnerships, and you build education, and you build skills that prepare people for the ups and downs. Sometimes we take on problems in Extension that we're not really trained to take on. As Bob has talked about here, we sometimes get in over our heads. You know, we want to be good listeners to these families, but let's face it, some of the issues that we've talked about are not just family issues, they're not just economic issues, they are clinical type issues that need to be referred on to the professionals. And for those of us who are working or used to work in Extension, it's important that we know what our mission is and at what point we cross a boundary that we're going to be more effective if we pass this off to other professionals.
Thank you. Those are really good insights. Bob, your thoughts. You kind of have a little more of a clinical background, and you work a lot with troubled farmers and ranchers across not only Colorado but elsewhere. Are there other things that you see that we might should be doing as Extension professionals?
Yes, John. I think things like this agriculture in uncertain times is a good start. It's a good way to get more awareness about what Extension people and retired Extension people can offer. But we can do more. We can, you know, our mission has to do with providing research-based information, not just which program has the prettiest three-color slick design on it, but which ones are research-based and which ones are effective empirically. If we, as states and regions, would look at which longer programs are actually effective and promote and teach those, I think we could have a greater effect on our farmers and ranchers and stick to our mission, which is education. What we find in our research is that anything under about 2 hours doesn't really lead to behavioral change in the long run. But our 6 2-hour weekly sessions do have long-term changes that people make. And if we would invest some time and energy into those long-term types of programs, 6 2-hour weekly or longer types of programs, I think we would see some dramatic changes in our farm and ranch families.
Well, thank you for those thoughts. Very insightful. And again, both of you, thank you very much for your excellent formal presentations, but I've really enjoyed the interplay and exchange we've had around these questions we've had come in this morning. I really have learned quite a lot about where you all see we are and where we could be headed to better support farms and farm families in these difficult times. I want to move now to close our webinar for today. You can see on the screen we have a listing. If you're interested in being notified of our upcoming webinars, you can send an email to the web address that's listed there, westrme@wsu.edu. You might also want to subscribe to our blog. We have on this home screen of that Ag and Uncertain Times webpage, RSS feed, which you can subscribe to and be notified of posts there. Or you can stay tuned to the schedule that's listed on those pages outlining the presenters and the times that are upcoming for our coming presentations. Where do we go from here? Well, there are a number of different recordings that we've mentioned this morning that are available on our website. We've also got posted the slide materials for today's presenters, as well as all of our previous presenters, and the handouts, in particular the checklist that Bob mentioned this morning, is available there, but handouts from several of our past presentations are also available. We have contact information there for more information and much more. If you'd like to take a look at that, Ag in Uncertain Times webpage is available. I'll give you some instructions to access that here in just a second. what's coming next, and I briefly alluded to earlier, but in November, our topic for the month will be operating in risky environments. And under that banner, we intend to have presenters who will be discussing various different risk management strategies people might be looking to adopt and might fit for their situation, various resources and educational programs that are available and are under development for folks to take advantage of in terms of managing risk, as well as the tools and techniques for actually beginning to manage the risks that they're facing in the currently difficult times. So we recommend that webinar series if you're interested in learning more about risk. We'd also like to hear from you if you have suggestions for additional topics or presentations that we've not yet covered. You can send us an email at the West RME address listed on the screen, or you can drop a note in the chat pod there to get those suggestions to us today. And finally, we've mentioned a number of different URLs, websites, etc., in today's presentation. In order to give you a single place to record all of those, we are putting now on the screen a file share pod, which will allow you to download a flyer which contains all of that information. To get it to your computer, you click on the file's name listed in the pod that you want to download. That then activates the Save to My Computer button at the bottom. Click on that button and then download to your own desktop, and you can print those or save them for later reading. Let me close today's webinar by again extending our thanks to both presenters for their excellent presentation on farm families and how to assist them better as ag professionals. I want to also thank again our Ag in Uncertain Times team and their sponsoring institutions for helping to make this series possible. And especially would like to thank all of the participants in today's webinar. We sincerely hope that you find today's content of value in your work with farm families. We hope to see you again in one of our upcoming programs, and until then, we offer you our sincere hope for success in meeting the challenges of today's uncertain times. For Ag in Uncertain Times, I'm John Hewlett.